Kite. A Guardian Story, written by X-Parrot and read by Calicuria. This story features the pairing Shen Wei, Zha Yun Lan, has been rated for general audiences, and has been tagged No Archive Warnings Apply. Summary. Shen Wei is very confused. It's all right. Zha Yun Lan is there to catch him. Reader's notes. My apologies for the, I'm sure, egregious pronunciations of everyone's names. Among Shen Wei's multitude of powers, there was none that provided adequate protection against the hazards of Haixing's growing season. Really, he was lucky. Some Dixingren were all but incapacitated by hacking and wheezing through most of the springtime. Shen Wei, having grown up with more exposure to plants than most of his people now, only suffered from mildly itchy eyes and sniffles during days with the highest pollen counts. It was unfortunate when such a day coincided with his class schedule, as sneezes disrupted the flow of his lectures. He apologized to his students, of course, and they always assured him it was fine, would point out that they were all suffering hay fever too, and offer him tissues and nasal sprays and eye drops. Still, he observed multiple students surreptitiously taking out their phones on his more afflicted days. While some diligent pupils routinely recorded all his lectures for later review, apparently when he was frequently sneezing, most of them found video recordings regrettably necessary to keep up with their studies. So on a particularly pollinated day, when one of his students came in early before his afternoon epigenetics lecture to present him with the thermos, Shen Wei didn't refuse. "It tastes awful," Shu Linqin said, "but it clears your nose right up. I've been drinking it all month, or else I'd be sneezing through all my classes. My friends asked me for some, and I thought I'd share, since you've... your eyes are pretty... pretty red today." And her own eyes fell, color rising in her cheeks. Shu Linqin was one of his more dedicated students, and Shen Wei was touched that she'd be looking out for her classmates by trying to improve his lectures. And while few traditional herbal remedies were as effective with Dixing physiology, even mild alleviation could be helpful today. "Thank you," he said, accepting the thermos. Shu Linqin beamed at him. "The tea's my own version of an old family recipe. And don't worry, Professor Shen, it doesn't have any alcohol or anything. If it works for you, I can always, make you more? If you want? As much as... I'll let you know," he promised her, and she bobbed her head eagerly and went to her seat, her steps bouncing a little. The tisane proved bitter, if not as foul as Shu Linqin's wrinkled nose had implied. Shen Wei took a few sips before beginning the lecture, and finished the cup partway through, when he paused to let the students pair off to discuss their previous assignments, and the mock peer reviews he'd found were an effective way to encourage participation. Perhaps it did help with the sneezing. It didn't stop the itching of his eyes, though. He was used to ignoring that symptom, but by partway through the second half of his lecture, they were watering enough to blur his writing on the board. Shen Wei tried to rub them clear behind his glasses, but the fuzziness persisted. "Professor Shen?" In the front row, He Rong had his hand up. "Is that it for today's lecture?" Shen Wei realized he had stopped speaking, though it was some 10 minutes before the class's end, and the students were all still listening attentively. He blinked at the still-blurred blackboard, squinted enough to make out the last words he'd written. "Right. Yes. The repressor proteins, as you know, inhibit the attachment of RNA polymerase." This wasn't the first time he'd taught this course, and while his lectures were obviously shaped by each class and the students' individual levels of understanding, the basics remained the same. So it was disconcerting to reach the end of a sentence and realize that he had no idea what his next point should be. Of course he had notes, though they were as fuzzing as the writing on the blackboard, and significantly smaller. Pushing up his glasses helped a bit. The lenses must be fogged, though the little handwritten lines were still hard to track, seeming to wiggle around the page and intersect. For all he knew, they were parallel. There was a sneeze, not his, but it sounded remarkably loud, through what Shen Wei realized was a sudden silence, not unlike the hush on a battlefield after a general has fallen. He jerked up his head to see a swarm of eyes aimed toward him. His students, left waiting again, staring with their pens posed over their notebooks. Shen Wei cleared his throat, straightening up. "Excuse me," he said. "I seem to..." Maybe going blind sounded a touch dramatic, and have had the characters in my notes replaced with marching ants was implausible. Unless it was a Dishing power he hadn't encountered before. Not impossible. He knew of a few writing-based abilities. The tick of the classroom's clock, noisy in the persisting silence, caught his attention. If he were reading the blurred hands correctly, it was only 5 minutes until the class's end. With a relieved sigh, Shenwei said, "I'll follow up on this point, whatever point that was, next class." The students were all still looking at him earnestly. "Have I given you your assignments for next week?" Shenwei asked. The students turned to look at each other. Then Xu Luqin said, "Yes, Professor Shen, at the beginning of class, as usual." "Good," Shenwei said. "Then you're dismissed." When his students started to chat and gather up their bags and computers, Shenwei grabbed his own folder and Xu Luqin's thermos and headed out of the classroom. He pretended to not hear the cries of, "Professor Shen?" that trailed after him. Student questions could wait until he had ascertained what threat might be present. The transition from the sunny classroom to the artificially lit hall was oddly jarring. His eyes took longer to adjust, as if stepping across the door's threshold had taken him from Haixing to Dishing. Fortunately, he knew the biology building well. He didn't need to see clearly to navigate to the concealed corner under the stairwell. There he shut his eyes, opened his hand at his side. If there were a Dishing grin around using some unlikely text-to-insect power... But when he tried to extend his awareness, he couldn't coordinate it. He could feel the dark energy swirling in his core as always, but like his eyes, it wouldn't focus. When he tried to force his senses broader to compensate, he was bombarded by a wave of incoherent perceptions from across the building. The squeal of a student's sneakers on the tile floor, the sharp scent of peppermint gum, the warm draft of pollen-laden air through an open window. He was only knocked out of the flood by the too loud ringing of the bell announcing the break between classes. Shenwei slumped back against the wall, shook his head as he fought to regain his equilibrium against that dizzying array of minutiae. Nothing obviously of Dishing stood out in the chaos. But something was wrong. Blurred vision was one thing, but for his powers to be so erratic, this might be an attack after all, or something else. Once, he would have had to deal with it himself. Go back to Dishing, perhaps, see if his full powers would be enough to counteract whatever this was. He would have had no choice. But things were different now, and the certainty of that was as lightly, solidly warm as the press of jade against his chest, under his shirt. Shenwei waited for the second bell to mark the beginning of the next period, then pushed off the wall. Stumbled once, lightheaded yet from his failed dark energy detection, but found his footing and headed for the department offices. He was grateful that the halls were clearer with classes on. It still took longer than usual to reach his office, and when he finally made it, his head hadn't stopped spinning. He dropped into the chair behind his desk with no little relief. He reached for his phone, squinted at the keypad. Even when he set aside his glasses, the numbers weren't just blurred now, but doubling, wavering in and out of overlapping grids. He shut his eyes on them, dialed blind. The ringing on the other end sounded strangely distant, until he realized he hadn't put the receiver to his ear. He brought it up just in time to hear the ring break off, and then a welcome voice filled his ears, saying,
"Shenwei."
"Xiao Yunlan," Shenwei said, relaxing under the weightless, infinite heft of those precious syllables.
"Done with class. Are you heading over now, or do you have office hours?"
Shenwei considered. It was Tuesday, he believed. But was it this semester or last semester that had been the day for his afternoon office hours? He frowned at his office door. He'd locked it on the way in, but if students were coming, he should unlock it. Though it was inconveniently far from his desk.
"Shenwei,"
Xiao Yunlan asked over the phone. "Xiao Yunlan," Shenwei said back.
"You call for anything in particular?"
Xiao Yunlan said, in that particular tone the meant he was leaning back in his chair with a specific grin Shenwei knew very well, informal and satisfied.
"Or just to hear my dulcet voice?"
"I do like hearing your voice," Shenhui said. Even over the phone, it's so gentle, and yet so lively. There was a pause, and Shenhui frowned at his phone. Technology was so cursedly unreliable. Xiao Yunlan, are you still there? The connection hadn't been broken after all, but Xiao Yunlan's voice when he replied, though gentle still, was less lively than confused.
Shenhui, is anything wrong? You're sounding kind of...
Shenhui sat up suddenly at that reminder. He'd been leaning back in his chair as if just listening to Xia Yunlan's voice had shaped the positioning of his body. Wrong, yes. There's something wrong. Here, at the university. And Xia Yunlan was sitting up now, too, his lazy smile gone, replaced by the serious and intent investigator. Shenhui could picture as if his phone had a screen like most of his students.
What? What is it? What's up?
I don't know, Shenhui said. First it was the blackboard, and then my notebook, but then it was my dark energy, and I might have office hours today, but I'm not sure.
Your dark energy? What about it?
Xia Yunlan, do you think I should get a phone? A cellular phone, I mean, as my office and my apartment both have the standard variety. You keep a schedule on your phone, don't you? I could check it for my office hours, if I had one. There was another pause as Xia Yunlan considered the question. Then he said, speaking oddly slow and distinctly,
Shenhui, I want you to stay where you are. You're in your office, right? Stay right there. I'm coming over to the university.
But aren't you on shift until this evening? Shenhui said. Xia Yunlan muttered something he didn't quite catch, about remembering office hours versus SID shifts, then said, louder and with that same careful, clear enunciation,
Just stay put. I'm on my way.
My office door is locked.
Good. Keep it that way.
But if any students come by in need of assistance... Xia Yunlan breathed out, loud enough to be heard over the phone receiver.
Okay. I'll call the department head and find out about your office hours, and cancel them for you if you do have any.
Thank you.
No problem. Don't go anywhere. Got it?
He sounded like his expression was even more serious. Not just the investigator, the protector, the guardian of Haisheng. It was one of his most noble aspects. If I had a phone with a screen, Shenhui sighed, I could see your face now.
Yeah, good. Hang on, I'll be right there.
Xia Yunlan wasn't lying, either. Not that Shenhui ever thought he would be, of course. But it was mildly startling when, after Shenhui had taken the concerted effort to replace the receiver the right way on the phone's hook, then leaned back in his chair and taken a few breaths to steady himself and slow the turning of the room around him, even when he planted both feet on the floor to stop his chair from spinning any, the room itself kept lazily rotating. He closed his eyes to see if that would make it any better, but it didn't, so he opened them again, and Xia Yunlan was standing in front of his desk, staring down at him. Xia Yunlan, Shenhui said, his elbows slipping off the arms of his chair. He hastily grabbed for them again before he could fall out of the chair's frustratingly unstable seat. It wouldn't be very dignified.
Shenhui,
Xia Yunlan said back, echoing his startled tone. Did you teleport here? Shenhui asked him. How?
No, I drove, Xia Yunlan said. How about you? What's up?
His voice was calm, but his face wasn't. His jaw was set and his brow was lowered. What's wrong? Shenhui asked him, concerned. It took a considerable degree of misfortune to so trouble Xia Yunlan, and Shen Wei hadn't even realized the SID had a case today.
That's what I'm trying to figure out,
Zhao Yinlan said. His voice was still very calm.
What's wrong with you, Shen Wei?
Shen Wei blinked. I don't know, he said honestly. Zhao Yinlan came around his desk. He was moving cautiously, as if perhaps he too found the tilting, rotating room hard to navigate. Though when Shen Wei asked him about it, Zhao Yinlan just shook his head. He reached out, carefully touched Shen Wei's face.
Did someone attack you?
Shen Wei shook his head, which pressed his cheek against Zhao Yinlan's warm hand. He tipped his head further into that cradling palm. No, at least, I don't think so. No one challenged me, anyway. And it's not an attack I've heard of before, to turn all one's writing into wriggling worms and ants.
Uh-huh, Zhao Yinlan said. Are you sick? How do you feel? You don't have a fever, anyway.
No, Shen Wei said. Just hay fever. The pollen count was high today. Though, it occurred to him, he hadn't been sneezing, that he recalled. Not since he'd finished Shulin Qin's Tizan.
Wait, who's that?
Zhao Yinlan demanded. Shen Wei opened his eyes. Zhao Yinlan was bending close, looking Shen Wei direct in the eyes. This near, even with his blurry vision, Shen Wei could see his lashes, the perfect bow curve of his lips, though they were folded now in an unhappy, if still attractive, frown. It helped that Zhao Yinlan was more stable than the rest of the room. With his steadying hand against his cheek, Shen Wei could almost ignore the spinning.
Shen Wei,
Zhao Yinlan said, his slow, precise diction sounding like he got when he was especially frustrated with Xiao Guo.
What, Tizan?
The tea, Shen Wei said. In the thermos. And he waved at the desk. Zhao Yinlan let go of him to grab the thermos, unscrew it, and sniff the residue of its contents. Shen Wei sighed, leaning back in the chair again, keeping his eyes open. As soon as Zhao Yinlan let go, the room started circling again, and its orbit got distinctly faster and more skewed if he shut his eyes. Then Zhao Yinlan was in front of him again, holding up the thermos before his face.
Shen Wei, where did you get this? Who gave it to you?
Shulin Qin, Shen Wei said. A third year. She's going into medicine, not bioengineering, which I shouldn't regret as she'll make an admirable doctor, but all the same it will be a loss to the research field.
Going to be a doctor, huh?
Zhao Yinlan said, his eyes narrowing to dark, intensely glittering stars.
So she'd know about drugs?
Presumably, Shen Wei agreed. Zhao Yinlan stared down at Shen Wei, gnawing on his thumbnail in a manner that was, honestly, extremely distracting, even given possible dark energy attacks in atypically rotating rooms. At last, Zhao Yinlan said,
Shen Wei, I want you to stay here for a little longer. Can you do that for me? Just wait here in your office and don't go anywhere until I come back.
All right, Shen Wei said. If you want me to. Zhao Yinlan's face changed in some way that was both too slight and too extreme to easily interpret. Then he smiled at Shen Wei, bright enough that Shen Wei had no choice but to hopelessly smile back. Zhao Yinlan leaned over, kissed his temple. The rasping brush of his beard against Shen Wei's skin was distinct, even more so than usual, as if Zhao Yinlan somehow were more manifestly present than ever.
Just hold on,
Zhao Yinlan told him, and Shen Wei nodded, took firm hold of the arms of his chair. Zhao Yinlan's mouth twitched at that. He patted Shen Wei's shoulder, then grabbed the thermos and took off, striding across the tilting office floor as confidently as a sailor on deck in high seas, and locking the door on the way out. With a little experimentation, Shenwei found that if he kept his head very still and pushed back against the chair's headrest, and pressed his hands flat on the desktop, settled to a mostly reasonable angle. He still felt exceedingly strange, though, even aside from his distorted vision. It was difficult to order his thoughts. One jumped to the next, but if he tried to think back, he couldn't retrace the chain. Usually, he had no trouble remembering anything. He knew his students often relied on mnemonic devices to recall longer iterations of facts, but he'd never needed such measures. Perhaps he should have practiced them, in case of these circumstances, whatever they were. The vertigo was a bit like what he could recall of his rare encounters with alcohol, though that dizziness usually just dropped him down into blackness. Well, he didn't exactly feel tired now. There was a restless stimulation flowing through his limbs, unsettled and unfocused as his dark energy. Besides, he hadn't had any drink. He remembered clearly Xu Lin Chin saying there was no alcohol in her tisane. Had he told Xiao Yunlan that? Perhaps he should have. Had Xiao Yunlan noticed something was wrong with Shen Wei? He probably had. He was so intelligent, so very perceptive. Dangerously so, and Shen Wei knew it. Should have known better than to get close to him, to allow him close. But he couldn't help himself. Couldn't help but to rely on him, to trust him. When he'd last drunk alcohol, Xiao Yunlan had been there, a jacket spread over him, the phantom memory of a warm hand on his arm through the blackness. And now, Xiao Yunlan had been here, hadn't he? His voice had been on the phone, and then he'd been here, in Shen Wei's office, saying something. Shen Wei couldn't quite remember what. Though Xiao Yunlan wasn't here now, Shen Wei checked, turning his head gingerly to keep the room from spinning away from him. Perhaps Xiao Yunlan had a case at the university. Maybe that was why he'd stopped by Shen Wei's office. Yes, that must be it. He could remember Xiao Yunlan's face, his searching, intent eyes, asking him questions that Shen Wei couldn't answer. Couldn't risk answering. What case? That much, Shen Wei really should be able to recall, whatever his other lapses. Not Li Qian, Shen Ruonan and Wang Yike, or Zheng Zhengwan and his adopted daughter. But Zheng Yi, however innocent a victim, was also dangerous. And Xiao Yunlan... Wherever he had gone, he believed he had backup, believed he could rely on the black-cloaked envoy. But meanwhile, Shen Wei was sitting here with his dark energy unstrung, unheeding. Shen Wei set his hands against the desktop, pushed himself to his feet. His first step was unsteady, but it became easier if he ignored the lightheadedness, let his body drift on semi-disconnected limbs. He reached out and grabbed for his glaive. It took a little fumbling, but then it was in his hand, a third leg for support. As he reached for the doorknob, he noticed his sleeve, the blue suit jacket. Not what he needed, not if he was to help Xiao Yunlan. Shen Wei made the internal gesture to summon his robes, but not even a wisp of dark energy gathered. He tried again with a wave of his arm to echo and emphasize the thought, but only succeeded in upsetting his precarious balance even with the glaive, so that he ended up sitting on the floor, staring at his stubbornly blue sleeves in dismay. When a hand that wasn't his fell on one of those inopportune sleeves, Shen Wei looked up, into Zhao Yunlan's face. His dark eyes were soft on Shen Wei as he squatted next to him. "Hey," Zhao Yunlan said, his mobile mouth quirking. "What are you doing down here?" "Xiao Yunlan," Shen Wei said, deeply relieved. Xiao Yunlan broke into a grin.
"At least you're still on top of the important stuff."
Taking Shen Wei's wrist, he pressed his fingers over his pulse and nodded to himself.
Okay, how are you with standing?
He slid his hand under Shen Wei's elbow, pulled him up to his feet and kept holding on when Shen Wei wobbled, gripped his arm in reassuring stabilization.
Great. You're doing great,
Xiaoyinlan said.
So far as I can tell, this was an accident. Xu Linqin had no idea. That tea she gave you was spiked with antihistamine, but it's second generation. Doesn't even cause drowsiness, usually. You're allergic or hypersensitive or something. Lucky you. She gave me the full recipe, and I've got Lin Jing double-checking for any possible interactions. But for now, the best bet is this is a bad drug reaction you just have to sleep off. I'll be keeping an eye on you. Make sure you don't show more symptoms of no D, and... You're not tracking any of this, are you?
Xiaoyinlan waved a hand before his eyes. Shen Wei blinked at it owlishly, said, Second-generation antihistamine compounds are dipolar ions given the appropriate pH, so don't cross the blood-brain barrier. In high Xingren.
Right,
Xiaoyinlan said, chuckling.
That. Okay, Professor Shen. Let's get you home.
Shen Wei at first nodded, then looked around the office. But my...
No office hours. As fascinating as those would be right now.
Xiaoyinlan told him.
Now, come on. I want to get you out of here while classes are still on, and we're not going to run into anybody. I already get the evil eye from enough of the students here for my corrupting influences. I don't want to know what would happen if they thought I got their favorite professor stoned out of his gourd.
While there wasn't usually a break in the floor of his office doorway, now Shen Wei tripped on something on the threshold. He couldn't see what it was, even looking down at his feet to check. But Xiaoyinlan's firm grasp on his arm kept him upright, and Xiaoyinlan put his other arm around his back to steady him. Shen Wei allowed himself to cling for a moment, leaning into that warmth. Who? He took the opportunity to ask.
Who?
Who's their favorite professor? Shen Wei asked, clutching this line of thought as carefully as he was Xiaoyinlan's arm. And why would the students think you were responsible for him? Is the Di Xingren you're pursuing a professor here?
Is the what?
Xiaoyinlan shook his head with a snort, folded his arm a little snugger around Shen Wei's shoulders as he started walking them down the hall. It probably would have been easier to move if they weren't so close, but Shen Wei wasn't inclined to pull away.
Forget it,
Xiaoyinlan said.
I just don't want to start anything. As it is, I, kind of owe that girl Xu Linqin an apology letter.
Shen Wei frowned. Xiaoyinlan, what for? Xiaoyinlan said.
Should have known I wouldn't be able to get out of that one. It's okay, I was just a little... stressed. And then when she heard you might be ill, she really freaked out. Once she sees you're okay, she'll feel better too, and I'll buy her some chocolates or something. And you can go easy on her next exam.
There's no need, Shen Wei said. She's an excellent student.
You know, you say that about most of your students.
Most of them are, Shen Wei agreed, and Xiaoyinlan laughed. They reached the west exit of the biology building, stepping out into the afternoon sunlight, not much above the buildings, but still bright. Shen Wei shut his eyes against that radiance, tipped his face into it. The breeze outside was cooler, and it cleared his head a little. Xiaoyinlan let him bask for a moment, then pulled him over to his car. He helped Shen Wei into the jeep, fussing as he stepped up on the running board and then leaning over him to reach for the seatbelt, as if Shen Wei had never driven in a motor vehicle before. When Shen Wei informed him that he was capable of fastening his own seatbelt, Xiaoyinlan rolled his eyes, lifted his hands, but then stood in the car door, leaning with his elbows propped over his head on the jeep's roof, and the hem of his t-shirt pulled up over his stomach, and watched. Which was distracting, to have his warmth and waist so close. Plus, Shen Wei's fingers were tingling, but also a little numb, such that it took him four tries and arduous concentration to get the buckle aligned properly to click. When finally he managed it, Xia Yilan patted him on the shoulder with a soft chuckle, and Shen Wei blinked up at him.
What?
Xia Yilan asked, his hand still on Shen Wei's shoulder. You're laughing a lot. Xia Yilan said, and made a strange effort to straighten out his expression.
Sorry, this is just... What?
No, Shen Wei said, shaking his head quickly enough to regret it. He put one hand flat to the jeep's dashboard, put the other against Xia Yilan's chest, as if he could borrow his enviable steadiness. No, I like it. I like seeing you happy. Xia Yilan's whole face screwed up, and then relaxed into an open-mouthed laugh.
Xia Wei, what am I going to do with you?
He dipped forward, dropped a quick kiss on Shen Wei's lips that was so soft he was hardly sure he felt it at all. Then Xia Yilan closed the jeep's door, swung around to the driver's side, and clambered in. Shen Wei had never much cared for driving, preferring more expeditious travel. Driving with Xia Yilan had always been a significant improvement of the experience, though. Usually they would converse, but with the motion of the car, Shen Wei found himself too dizzy to think of what to say. It was easier to just let the acceleration press him back against the seat, let Xia Yilan's sporadic comments flow over him without attempting to discern their meaning. He turned his head enough to watch Xia Yilan, the shadows and sunlight flashing between the city's buildings outlining his profile in a flickering strobe of gold and gray. Shen Wei studied the angle of his nose, the hair tangled around his brow and the distinctive curve of his jaw. The uncertain light made the stubble of beard on his chin come and go, present and then missing, so Shen Wei finally had to reach out and verify it was still there, pleasant friction against his tingling fingertips. Xia Yilan's voice paused, but he didn't look over at Shen Wei, keeping his eyes on the road. Though one Shen Wei would have pulled back, he lifted his nearer hand from the wheel, caught Shen Wei's hand and intertwined their fingers. Shen Wei didn't notice when the car came to a halt, not until he heard the door beside him open and Xia Yilan said his name. But when he lifted his head from the seat back, the floating giddiness of motion congealed, abruptly and painfully, into a hard knot of sickness. Taken off guard, Shen Wei clutched the dashboard, hunched over to press his forehead to his fists, feeling cold sweat against the backs of his hands. Xia Yilan's hand fell on Shen Wei's back, rubbing long, soothing strokes.
Hey, hey, sorry, baby. Too fast for you, huh? It's okay. We're here.
He kept talking, an easy stream of solace, as he helped Shen Wei down out of the jeep and into the apartment building. It was only twilight, not yet night, but there was something familiar to it all the same, as Xia Yilan pulled Shen Wei's arm over his shoulders and walked him up the stairs. Shen Wei heard Xia Yilan's thoughtful huff of breath, lifted his head enough to look at him, and when Xia Yilan shook his head, gave him a squeeze with the arm around his waist.
I was thinking I'm returning the favor. Remember when you hauled me back home and put me to bed? Think this is the same suit you were wearing then, even. It always has been one of my favorites.
Shen Wei did remember, his erratic memory flashing up a vivid recollection of Xia Yilan's head falling heavy on his shoulder in the taxi, the weight of Xia Yilan's trust. It sat as heavy in his gut as the nausea now. When had that been? A week ago? Or two? Or longer? With Xia Yilan so close to him now, the smell of soap and detergent and sweat, the warmth of his body, the memory of the other closeness was so clear it could have been yesterday, but Shen Wei didn't think that was right. He tried to focus, to orient himself in memory, but it was difficult, between the churning of his stomach and the pressure of Xia Yilan's arm around his waist, the smoothness of Xia Yilan's leather jacket under his hand. What's the case? He finally thought to ask.
The case?
Xia Yilan repeated, his hip bumping against Shen Wei's as he got his key out of his pocket, unlocked the apartment door. What case are we working on now? Xia Yilan snorted.
Shenwei, I hate to break it to you, but you're not in any shape to be working on a case.
But you were in my office, at the university. That had been today. He was nearly sure. Your investigation. Xia Yinlan had come to ask for his help, but instead...
I was at your office because you called me,
Xia Yinlan said.
Remember, there's no case. All you need to worry about right now is taking it easy, sleeping this off.
All he needed to worry about. The knot in Shenwei's gut was twisting tighter, more painful. I'm sorry, he whispered.
For what?
Xia Yinlan said blithely.
Not like you were trying to get blitz on allergy meds. I'd tell you to be more careful about drinking whatever some cute girl pours for you, but that's really the kind of lesson every guy should learn once for themselves. Here we are. Sit.
And he sat Shenwei down on the side of the bed, pulled Shenwei's suit jacket off his shoulders, and then bent over to unfasten the buttons of his vest. Shenwei stared down at the top of his hat, the tangle of dark hair. It was thick when he wove his fingers through it, the ends a little stiff from styling gel, but the roots softer. Xia Yinlan tilted his face up, grinned at him, and Shenwei's stomach roiled. His skin prickled with a hot wave of shame and nausea. This... he shouldn't have this. Xia Yinlan's smile fell away as he looked into Shenwei's face.
Still feeling sick?
Before Shenwei could answer, quick fingers were undoing the top buttons of his collar. A firm hand clasped his shoulder, then released, Xia Yinlan striding away. Shenwei steadied his hands, hanging down between his knees, turned them over and back again. They didn't feel like his own appendages, hard to recognize when he couldn't wrap the dark energy around them with the twist of his fingers.
Here.
Xia Yinlan was back, smiling reassuringly and holding out a glass of water.
It'll help settle your stomach. Besides, you don't want the hangover tomorrow. Trust me.
Trust me. It made Shenwei's stomach lurch. He curled over, and Xia Yinlan said,
Shit, hold on, just...
A plastic wastebasket was shoved under his head, and there was a warm hand on the back of his neck. Steady pressure. Shenwei stared down into the bin. It was mostly empty, but for a few crumpled tissues, candy wrappers, and a little gray dust. Ash, the remains of an incense cone, and the faint waft of scent made Shenwei heave, bile burning up his throat. Behind the pulsing spots before his eyes, he could see the missive from Disheng. The message he'd changed, as Xia Yinlan slept before him, refuting that trust even as it was so sincerely granted. Maybe yesterday after all, if the incense were here. Only yesterday, and Xia Yinlan didn't know, didn't guess.
Here, Shenwei, drink.
And Xia Yinlan offered the water glass again. When Shenwei didn't grip it right away, Xia Yinlan's own hands wrapped around his, warm on the outside and the glass cool within, to guide it to his mouth. He rinsed his mouth out, spat in the bin, then drank the rest of the water. Even with the wastebasket pushed away, he could smell the incense under the sour reek of bile. It tugged at him, a faint echo of its summoning. The empty glass slipped out of his hands. Shenwei watched it fall, not even trying to grab it, as if the hands before him weren't his to move. It should have shattered on the floor, but Xia Yinlan caught it, set it aside. There were words in Shenwei's head, unvoiced, but loud. Duty, responsibility, protection. He could see the characters that composed them, black brushstrokes against the white noise filling his mind now, but he couldn't remember their meaning. He only knew that he'd told them to himself, so many times that they'd become a mantra, an abstract recitation. Excuses. If they'd brought him any comfort once, it was denied him now.
Maybe they never meant anything, he said,
to hear if his own voice was louder than the white noise. It was, but only just.
Sure, maybe not.
Xia Yinlan said. He was sitting next to Shen Wei on the bed. His hand was warm on Shen Wei's back.
I've lied to you, Shen Wei told him.
Xia Yinlan didn't turn away, didn't lift his hand.
Yeah, sometimes, he said.
He rubbed Shen Wei's back again, circles this time. Such thoughtless, easy kindness that Shen Wei felt a stinging in his eyes.
It's okay.
It isn't, Shen Wei said, but anything he tried to say after that got gummed up in the thickness in his throat. I looked for you, and you found me. You trust me, and I lie. I called you, and you came. It was all so huge, and yet so fragile, too big for his two hands, and they were too unsteady now anyway. He dropped that glass. He couldn't possibly hold this, however much he wanted to. And Xia Yinlan was still sitting next to him, hands still on his back, murmuring softly,
Shh, baby, it's okay. Everything will seem better in the morning, I swear.
Shen Wei couldn't see how that would be. It was dark outside the windows, as it always was. If the sun never came up, there couldn't be morning anyway. There was still a stone of sickness and misery in his gut, but the rest of him was floating, a tingling lightweightedness. The room swayed gently around him when he stood, or else perhaps he was swaying. Xia Yinlan jumped up and caught his arm, grounding him like Shen Wei was lightning and Xia Yinlan a rod, the root to the safe earth. Shen Wei stared into his face, at the beautiful kindness of his eyes, the comfort of his smile. He wrapped his hand around Xia Yinlan's arm, squeezed until he felt the warmth through his numb fingers. Xia Yinlan, he said, the words a little displaced. He heard them in his ears a moment before his mouth shaped them. He didn't try to stop them anyway. There's something I need to tell you. Xia Yinlan shook his head.
You really don't, he said. Not now.
Shen Wei shook his head back, and the afterimages of the motion smeared Xia Yinlan's face into light.
No, now. I can't. I need. I want to.
Xia Yinlan closed his mouth, and Shen Wei said, carefully, so the words didn't get tangled up on his numb tongue,
I'm the black-cloaked envoy.
There was a pause. Xia Yinlan looked at Shen Wei. Shen Wei couldn't tell what his expression was. The white noise in his head was expanding outwards, washing sound and vision both out to a snow-cold monotone. But the knot in his stomach was dissolving. He felt so light that he might evaporate into the air, if not for Xia Yinlan's grounding touch.
I'm the black-cloaked envoy, he said again.
He focused on Xia Yinlan's mouth, saw it twisting. Of course he would be angry, his trust betrayed. It was only that Shen Wei was too attenuated to feel it, that it didn't hurt like it should, like he deserved it to hurt.
I wanted to tell you, he said. I wanted to tell you everything. But I didn't.
Though he didn't understand why not, when it was this easy. Xia Yinlan's lips were rippling still, but his eyes were crinkled, so that in Shen Wei's off-kilter world they looked almost like a smile. Like care. Like affection. Then Xia Yinlan's mouth settled into a smirk. He rocked back on his heels, looked Shen Wei up and down, challenging, and said,
Prove it.
Prove?
You, the envoy.
Xia Yinlan shook his head.
I don't believe it. Prove it.
Xia Yinlan was watching, waiting, so Shen Wei reached down into himself, tried to take hold of the dark energy swirling through him. It was there, as powerful a storm as ever, grasping for it was like trying to catch smoke through his fingers. He frowned, made the gesture to at least don his robes, and off-balanced himself so that Jianlan blurted a hasty, "Whoops!" and changed his grip in a hurry to catch Shenwei. All the dizzier for nearly falling, Shenwei clutched at Jianlan's shoulders. Jianlan managed to hold them both for a suspended instant, grinning down at him, and then let go so that they fell together on the bed behind them. It felt like a very long drop, but then the mattress felt very soft when Shenwei's shoulders sank into it. His head was whirling and Jianlan was over him, nearly everything he could see. Jianlan ducked his head to kiss the tip of Shenwei's nose, then sat back, sprawling beside him on the bed.
"Nope,"
he said, combing his fingers through the hair fallen over Shenwei's brow.
"No black-cloaked envoy here. All I see is Professor Shen, pride and joy of Dragon City University, the bio student's very favorite member of the faculty. You must be confused."
Shenwei was definitely confused. "Xiaoyinlan, I..." It was so hard to think, under the radiance of Xiaoyinlan's smile, under the caress of those fingers, gentle against his scalp. There was a lamp behind Xiaoyinlan's head, and its brightness and shadows divided his irises into black and gold, chiaroscuro bifurcation. Xiaoyinlan was laughing again, not softly but out loud, a brilliant sound.
"Professor Shen," he said, "who, so high he can't see straight, can still pronounce chiaroscuro."
He passed his thumb over Shenwei's eyebrow to smooth back a last strand of hair, his grin softening.
"I'm glad you called me."
"Called?" Shenwei struggled to make sense of this. "Why would I call you? You're here."
"Yeah, I'm here. Wouldn't have missed this for the world."
Xiaoyinlan's smile grew wider, but even gentler.
"And I'll be telling you this again tomorrow, when you're all here, too, instead of whenever you think you are now. But yeah, you called me. You didn't have to, but you realized something was wrong, and you didn't even know what it was, but you still called me to help."
Was something wrong? Shenwei wasn't sure. If there were, then he should... But this bed was so very soft, and Jianlan's smile was so very warm. "I really am the black-cloaked envoy," he said, though he wasn't quite certain of that, either.
"Sometimes,"
Jianlan said.
"Not now. Right now, it's only Xiao Wei in my bed, where he's going to sleep very well and deeply tonight. And when he wakes up tomorrow morning, if he remembers any of this, he's probably going to feel a little silly. Though really, he shouldn't."
Shenwei blinked. "I don't feel silly," he said. "I feel..." Xiaoyinlan's eyes were bright, twinkling like stars on a clear night. His lips were rippling again. Shenwei reached up his hands, touched his fingers to them, and Xiaoyinlan kissed his fingertips, caught his hand and turned it to kiss his knuckles. Xiaoyinlan's lips were water soft, while the scruff on his chin was rough like sand, and Shenwei sighed, let his eyes close. There was more he thought he should say now, when he had forgotten why he shouldn't. But his body, floating before, now was so weighted that it stilled the mattress under him, kept it from tilting. He couldn't lift his head, couldn't lift his eyelids. Xiaoyinlan's fingers were still running through his hair. Xiaoyinlan's lips moved against his fingers. His voice was tender, vibrant with laughter.
"How do you feel, Shenwei?"
"I feel..." It was so easy to say, so light, he even when his body was so heavy. The world was falling away, and his last fragmented thoughts were scattering, and Xiaoyunlan was. That, he remembered, and smiled as he sank into blackness. I feel loved. The end. Thanks for listening.